This morning, scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 10, and we're going to read through to verse 18. Well, actually, I'm going to read, you're going to follow along, and I'm reading from my new NASB Bible. So, if you have your NIV, it's going to sound just a little different, but I have the NASB. And as you are all turning to that, chapter 2, verse 10 of Hebrews, I'm going to begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you've given us the ability to have Bibles, to have your written word, that we might study it, that we might be able to read it, that we can listen to it when someone else reads. Father, thank you for that freedom that we have in this nation, that we can come together and listen to your holy word read. Starting in chapter 2, verse 10 of Hebrews. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Therefore, since the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. May God add a blessing, not only to the reading and hearing, but the doing of his holy word. Now, when Pastor Rich gave me that scripture and said, I want you to preach on family, we are family, I dug through that and I read it and I read it and I looked up commentaries and I tried to envision how this scripture fits into family, because it is a very meaty scripture. It describes an incredible amount of things in those short amount of verses. But I want you to take note of the following words in this scripture passages, okay? We're going to look at a couple of them. I want you to look at sons, sanctified, brethren, congregation, children, descendants, and people. In looking at the word sons, we are all sons, are we not? We are all sons and daughters, okay? Because I'm looking at the context of sons as in when God created his first son, a human son, Adam, he took from Adam a rib and he created a woman. So when I read sons, I read mankind, okay? Woman came from the man after God created Adam. So we are all of one flesh. And our sons and our daughters are brought forth in what? A union. God has created a community. The first community ever created was a husband and a wife to bring forth children. That is the first community. It was before Abraham and his family, which we are all descendants, spiritual descendants of Abraham. Those who have faith and believe are descendants of Abraham, because he is the father of the faithful. Are we not faithful? You see that kind of connection there? So sons have to come from somewhere. They don't just sprout out of the ground like a mushroom. It takes a family. It takes a father and a mother to bring forth sons and daughters. Sons. God gave us His Son. In here, if we look at the Scriptures, for it was fitting for Him for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. We look at the motif of a family. Now God has created the church, the body of Christ. But our body is inhabited by families, by sons and daughters. All of us here are a son or a daughter from someone, from parents, okay? And we come in to this congregation bringing that first type of congregation, the family, into the family of God. We are sons and daughters. God has provided a son for us. The next one was sanctified. The Son of God came to sanctify us. Okay? He came as that propitiation. And that word means that Christ came and offered Himself as a ransom for us. God's holiness and His righteousness demanded and does demand that there are consequences to sin. And since we could not pay that price, that consequence, God in His infinite wisdom had a plan in place even before the worlds were created. It says so in Scripture. That Christ would come, His Son would come, the perfect Son, the Son of God's family, would come and sanctify us. And in becoming sanctified, that means you are brought into a right relationship. Before we accepted Jesus Christ, we were in an off relationship. We were sinful. And we couldn't come before God because of our sins. There was a block. There was a gulf stretching between us and God. And God's Son came. And in doing that, He bridged that gulf. And He made the way for us to come into God's family. Which makes us all brothers and sisters, does it not? If we're in God's family, and I'm talking our congregation here, we're all brothers and sisters. We greet each other, brother, sister, do we not? What does that mean? That means through Christ, because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we are all brothers and sisters. We are a family. And if you take that concept just a little further, all other Christians out there, all across, across the world, everywhere, pick any country that has born again, blood washed, Christians in it, they're our brothers and sisters. We look at our congregation right now, it's kind of a little small congregation, it's tight knit. There is, I'm going to say roughly 75 members to our congregation. That's a close knit little community, isn't it? And we're all brothers and sisters. We're of one family. Which takes us to my next word, brethren. Brethren. The word that word is used here in the scriptures, brethren. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, our Father in heaven, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He is in Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior. When we talk about Jesus Christ, if you're talking to someone, or if I'm talking to anyone in the congregation, we'll say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. But right here in the Scriptures, Christ says of us, you are my brethren, brothers and sisters to Christ, the Son of God. Another connection to God's family. In that connection to God's family, don't you feel a little more holy? You should be, for God calls you saints. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you are now granted sainthood. You are a saint. How often do we act like saints? I know I fall from sainthood. I get into trouble, I do wrong things, I make mistakes. But in God's eyes, because of the washing of our souls with Christ's blood, we are a saint. Saints in the kingdom of heaven. We might have to travel a little while here on earth, but as we travel through our lives, remember, you are brethren, sisters to Jesus Christ. Changes kind of how you think about how you live your life. If you're a brother to Jesus Christ, would you want to get into an argument with somebody, maybe in road rage? Would you be flipping them the bird? Would you be swearing and yelling at somebody? Would you be getting angry with your other brothers? How about your sisters, husbands and wives? When we're angry at each other, husbands, when you're angry with your wife, you're now angry with the sister of Jesus Christ. Kind of changes that around a little bit. How about if you get in a heated argument? Who are you yelling at? You're yelling at a brother or sister of Jesus Christ. Would anybody here like to yell at Jesus Christ? Would you like to take him to task? Believe me, there are times in your life when things aren't growing well, and you might want to, but I wouldn't advise it, even though he can take it. He understands. Which takes us to my next word, congregation. And I've hit on that a little bit. We are a congregation of brothers and sisters in Christ. Our congregation is in fellowship with all other congregations around this world. And there's a congregation in heaven of saved souls, which I just mentioned one woman, Jamie, who passed away from inoperable liver cancer. She got saved. She's in that congregation. She is one of our sisters. There's a cloud of witnesses all around us in the spiritual realm. And they are part of the congregation. Children was the next word I picked out. We are children, physically, of Adam and Eve. We are children of our parents. That means a man and a woman came together and produced us. My mother and father had me. I was the oldest born, and I have two younger brothers. We are children of the flesh because we have a fleshly body right now. Christ had to have a fleshly body. God in his wisdom provided a man and a woman so that his son could take upon himself flesh so that he could live amongst us, okay, and eventually become our great high priest, okay? I'm not sure I've ever read any place in the scriptures where an angel was a high priest. High priests always were the sons of Levi, okay? When God instituted the Jewish nation, the Hebrews, he said, this family, the Levites, they're going to be the priests. And each family was given a job in that nation, okay? But they all had to be born. They all had to have a body. And so God provided a fleshly body for his son. God himself became incarnate. Emmanuel is God with us. He came down and he indwelled a physical body just like us. And he shared in our common lot. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was tired. He was sleepy. He had to sleep. He had to eat. He had to deal with people all around him, just like we have to deal with people. Can you imagine the Son of God in all his perfection and all his wisdom having to deal with somebody who hasn't quite had a good day, didn't have the morning Joe, is off on a bad start, and is grouchy as all get out? Jesus had to deal with those people just as we do. And that's how he understands our common lot. He's lived with us. And so he is able to take upon himself that priestly office, the high priest, because he didn't leave his body here in the dust like other priests did. When he was raised on that third day, he got a glorified body, a body built for eternity, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. A family produced that, and God ordained a family to raise him up. Descendants, God promised Abraham to help and bless his descendants. And as I said before, Abraham is the father of the faithful. Okay, you might not be genetically descended to Abraham of the Jewish nation. We don't know for sure. I guess if we wanted to, I could start going around taking blood and see if we can find any genetic markers for the Jewish nation. But we don't know. But we know spiritually, we are descendants of Abraham because he is the father of the faithful. Descendants. Descendants only come through families. Families producing children. And that's what we're doing. We're producing children for our church. But also, when we go out and we talk to other people and tell them about Jesus Christ and invite them to church, we're adding to the family of this congregation and the congregation as a whole. Which brings me to my last word that we wanted to look at, people. People need to make up the congregation. People need to make up families. There's no other way to do it. And it sounds kind of silly talking about that because, you know, hey Dave, you know, are you brain dead or something? We all know this, right? But sometimes we forget that there's people out there. People hurting. People come from broken families. Broken homes. Let us not allow the brokenness to come into our family. But when it does, I'm not saying don't let those people in, but when that brokenness comes in, you need to help heal that brokenness by taking them to Jesus. As we grow as a congregation, as people come in, they're going to bring their brokenness. They're going to bring all the stuff that Satan has done to them out there in the world. Alcoholism, drug abuse, spousal abuse, child abuse. You all know the maladies out there. You all know what it is because you have skin in the game. Who here has not been hurt in some way out there? So as we come into our family here, let us strive to never hurt each other here. Let us be the family where Jesus Christ is the head of the family. That the Holy Spirit is the sustaining, loving arms that wraps around each one of us and gives us comfort. And let us pour that out into every person that comes in, not just the people we know as friends, but as we start to grow, make new friends. Call people to the family of God. To bring this somewhat difficult scripture to a point, all of us, and I'm leaving you with this point that I want you to take with you for this week and think about it, kind of chew it over in your mind. Tell me if I'm way off, please come to me and tell me. And here it is. All of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are His brethren. As such, we belong to His Father, who is the King of Heaven. We have nothing to fear, for all things in heaven and earth have been placed in His hands. Our big brother, Jesus Christ. I was always the big brother. Who here has had big brothers? Did big brothers take care of you, kind of watch over you when you got in trouble? I see, yes, did big brothers kind of hit you a little bit? I will tell you, and I'm going to move on a little bit because Charles just gave me something to think about. Sometimes a big brother needed to thump you a little bit because you were doing something wrong. Jesus might have to correct us a little bit if we get off that path a little bit. So what I want you to take from this sermon today is that Jesus Christ calls us brethren. He is our big brother. Who here hasn't looked up to a big brother that had them or a big sister? I don't want to leave the ladies out, and I'm not talking a gender-neutral type thing here, but God places big sisters in our lives sometimes to thump us, to guide us, to love us, to be with us. But Jesus is our big brother, and He's watching over you, each and every one of you, each and every step. So this week, when you pray and you're in your prayers, thank God the Father for sending such a wonderful big brother that took everything that we have upon His shoulders, and He carried it to the cross. And He left it in hell. So we have nothing to worry about. In His holy name, I pray, amen. Father in heaven, as we move through this week and as we look, may Your scriptures, may Your holy words written come to mind and help us.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.